Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If there's an issue you'd like to discuss or a Bible question we can answer for you, why, we invite your call right now. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. We're live on the air and online, so you can discuss the issues that are important to you with the guys here or get a quick answer, a thoughtful answer to your question. The phone lines are open right now, and again, the toll-free number is 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Jesus Christ is alive. And I love how John starts his gospel out. He talks about the Word was with God. It was in the beginning. It was God. And, you know, nothing was created apart from him. And then he talks about the Word being the light of life. And John really focuses in on that theme of light and darkness. We see it all throughout his gospel account. We see it in his letters.
Yes.
And he positions the world as the place of darkness and Christ Jesus as the place of light. And if we're in the light, God is going to use us, work through us to pierce that darkness with the light of Jesus Christ. That's what the world needs. It doesn't need our goodness or anything that we can bring to the table. The world needs Jesus. He's the light of life. And so as believers in Christ, our role is simply to bring praise and honor to him, to lift up Jesus. Why? Because those who are still in darkness, that's what they need. They need Jesus Christ in their lives. They need his love, his grace, his forgiveness, his mercy, his righteousness, the reconciliation that he provided through his death on the cross,
all those
justification, holiness, perfection. Jesus has what they need.
Yeah.
And so our job as believers is simply to lift up the name of Jesus. Why? Because he's the light that's going to pierce the darkness. Now, we've been talking all this month about the world, the nature of the world. John really, I think, describes it best in his first letter. He said, do not love the world or anything in the world. That's an imperative to us as believers in Christ. We once did love the world. That's how we got our meaning and purpose, from a reliance on that world system. Just as everybody else did, we lived to gratify the desires of the flesh, but we found out that that was empty. And in reality, that was nothing but death. And Jesus rescued us from that. So our life is in him. Our contentment is in him. Everything that we need for life and godliness is in him. And he's provided it for us through this saving faith that he has authored in our hearts. And he said, now, don't go back to the world. There's nothing there for you. So that's the imperative. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So if you love the world, you're still basically lost. That's what he's saying here. And he said, for everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Now, that world system became fully operational in the Garden of Eden when Satan stood beside that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He made it look desirable to Adam and Eve, specifically to Eve. And the two of them ate. And that's when these three things really came into being. The cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does. Those things didn't come from God. Those were fruits of the lie of Satan. Mm-hmm. And that's what the world system has been operating on. And if we understand that, then we can be sympathetic to those in the world and to bring them the answer that they really need, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bob, for those thoughts. And friends, we have an open line for you right now. If you have a question, something you'd like to discuss, good opportunity. The lines are wide open at 844-322-2742. Again, toll free in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and we're awaiting your calls. Guys, a question from Jose, who basically is tuning into the program through our app, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. But he would like us to explain a passage of Scripture, that being James 4, 4 through 6. And I'll read it out of the New Living Translation, and it is a pretty strong passage of Scripture. So here it is. It says, "You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be friends with the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the Scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the Spirit He has placed within us should be faithful to Him, and He gives grace generously. As the Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." That's a question from Jose. He would like us to explain that. And as I said, it kind of dovetails with what you're talking about as you opened the program.
Yes, it does. And I think James was, you know, there's been so much talk about the book of James. You know, Martin Luther called it the straw epistle. He said, James, when he first read it, he said, James has never heard the gospel. Why would he write this kind of stuff? And many have said we just need to rip it out of the pages of Scripture. But apparently God had a reason for it being there. And I think what he's trying to say to us is, here's the gospel message, and do you really believe it? Do you really believe what the gospel message says to you? Have you really allowed it to speak into your life and into your heart and to change you in such a way that you don't want anything to do with the world? And one of the things that he was seeing in the Jerusalem church was this playing around with the world system, wanting to have one foot in the grace of God and one foot in the world. And he said, you can't do that, because if you're going to put one foot in the world's going to eventually bring that other foot into the world as well, and that's where you're going to be. And he's saying, if you're going to be messing with the world, you've become an adulterer. God has saved you. God has said, I want to be yours and I want you to be mine. There's this covenant relationship, and that's what a marriage is all about. It's a covenant relationship. And so I have rescued you out of that world system. I have called you unto myself, and now you want to go back to the world system? But do you not understand what has taken place, what has happened? You want to be like an adulterer, have me, and then have the world as well? It doesn't work that way. We're at the opposite ends of the spectrum, so to speak. And if you are going to have friendship with the world, that means you're going to have hatred toward me. Why? Because the world hates me. Jesus said that in his high priestly prayer. Mm-hmm. He said, the world is against me. And those who come to me by faith, the world is going to be against them as well. That's just the nature of the world. John talks about the world in the sense that it's the spirit of Antichrist that moves the world, that is prevalent in the world system. So it's a system that is anti-God, anti-Jesus, anti-Jesus's people. So if you're going to be friends with the world, then what you're saying is, I'm going to be against God, because that's what the world says. So it's important for us to understand that, Richard.
Yeah, earlier in the week you were reading from Hosea, and that whole book in the Old Testament is a statement of this. I mean, Hosea marries a prostitute. God told him to, because he was creating a model for what was going on. And the children of Israel were so adulterous, always, you know, trying to hold on to God with one hand and trying to hold on to the world with the other, and it was just making a complete hash of things. And yet God keeps sending Hosea out to get his wife out of the gutter and bring her back home and restore her to himself. And he was saying in that picture, I am going to restore my people to me. And in addition, I'm going to restore those who have never been called my people, to me. And so there's this great promise in the midst of this adulterous relationship that God was even stronger than that. And James echoes that because the very next verse, 7, starts with, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. There's the answer. I mean, it's not like, you know, I have to stand there on the outside peeking into the glass and saying, oh, I wish I could be part of the world, but God says I can't. No, they're antithetical to each other, complete opposites. So I turn from that window into the world and turn to Jesus and submit myself and let him restore me to what he wants me to be.
Yeah. And there's an interesting phrase here, and it's something that's in the Old Testament. It's repeated a couple of times in the New. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. We just read in 1 John that the world system is built upon the pride of man.
Yes.
I mean, Satan was there in heaven. He wasn't satisfied with his position as the angel God created him to be. He looked at God and said, I want to be God. I want to kick him off his throne. I want to sit on that throne. I want to rule the world. And that got him kicked out of heaven. But he brought that same attitude, that same junk down to earth, and he foisted it on Adam and Eve, and they believed it. And they said, well, I want to be like God.
Yeah.
I want to rule the roost. I want to be the captain of my soul. And so they bought into that lie. And so the world system is built upon pride. Well, if you're friends with the world, what is going to be the attitude of your heart? Well, it's that pride. It's the boasting of what you have and what you do. It's the pride of those sinful desires, and it's the pride that says, God, I don't need you. That's what we were like before we came to know Christ. And then we realized that, man, if I'm the captain of the ship, this ship is going down. I'm not good enough to navigate the choppy waters of this world system. I can't do it. As Sinatra said, I did it my way. Well, us doing it our way just doesn't cut it.
Yeah.
And we come to the end of ourselves, we realize we don't have it, and we cry out to God. That's when we give pride a boot, and we embrace humility, and said, Lord, if anything good is going to happen in my life, you have to be the author of it.
Yes.
You have to be the one that makes it happen. And that's when we can receive the grace that he offers. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What's one of the key characteristics of those who are part of the kingdom of God? This humility, this dependence upon Jesus Christ, for life, for forgiveness, for grace, for mercy, dependence on him and him alone.
Absolutely. Jose, hope you're listening and hope that's a help to you. And guys, as I said, that Jose connects with the ministry through our new app. And friends, if you would like to do that as well, you can stay in touch with Basic Gospel by downloading it. It's available now in the App Store. It offers multiple options. And it works on iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and the Android devices. Hope you'll download it. It's, as I said, ready right now, and a great way to stay connected with Basic Gospel. One more wonderful venue that God has opened up to disseminate the gospel, and so we're very, very grateful for that. 844-322-2742, a toll-free call in the U.S. and Canada. We await your calls right now, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Marie, who's listening to us on KWRD right here in Dallas, Texas. Hi, Marie. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. What's on your mind?
Good. I was calling. I had a question regarding the Day of Atonement offering. Last week I was, I don't watch Christian TV, but last week I was getting ready and I felt led to turn on the television. I did, and there was this preacher on there, and he was, you know, saying that God had you turn the TV. He was talking about the Day of Atonement offering, that if you give this offering, you're going to get 7 blessings. He was coming from the book of Joel, chapter 2, that you're going to get this one of the 7 blessings was a double portion, financial abundance. He was just naming all these different things, and I've seen some of the gimmicks and stuff like that, but I just want to know, is there such thing as a Day of Atonement offering that we're supposed to bring to God like this September?
No, Marie, there's none of that for us as new covenant believers. There was a Day of Atonement. It was celebrated, on the Jewish calendar. It was the 10th day of the 7th month. That was the Day of Atonement. Leviticus 16 gives all the details of what exactly happened. But as the writer of Hebrews states in Hebrews chapter 10, the law was only a shadow of the good things that we would receive in Jesus. So these Day of Atonement offerings and sacrifices merely shadowed or were foreshadowing the work of Jesus Christ, the person and work of Jesus Christ. So the Day of Atonement happened once every year, year after year after year. And the sacrifices that were made on the Day of Atonement and throughout the year were merely reminders of the people's sin, that there was still a sin debt that had not been fully paid. And it was to point the people forward to the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus came and he offered his blood one time for all sin. And when he was about to give up his spirit, to hand his spirit over to God the Father, he said, "It is finished." The sacrificial system ended at that very moment. There is no more sacrifice for sin. Jesus shed his blood once. It's done. It's over. It's finished. So anybody saying for you to bring a Day of Atonement sacrifice so that you can be blessed, they are not speaking truth. I would call it hogwash.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Well, thank you. Yeah, it does, because you know what I ended up doing today? I just wanted two or three confirmations. As you know, the Bible says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So today, when I was doing my Bible study with the Lord, I was just getting ready to start reading, and I said, "Lord, I have a question. I want to know, adopt this Day of Atonement offering, was that you that led me to turn on the TV and watch that? I need to know if that's a you or not, because they're talking about these different feasts." So I said, "Let me go online and see if someone's ever said anything." So I typed in Day of Atonement, 7 blessings. And that same man I saw on TV, his information came up. And then I saw this rabbi guy, his information came up from Charisma Magazine, and he said what you said, that it's not of God, that's people manipulating you for money. I was like, wow. So I felt like that was my answer, but I still wanted another witness. So I typed in messianic congregations to people that believed in Jesus that go to a messianic congregation, they would more know about these feasts more than I would. So I called a couple of them, and I spoke to two women, and they both said the same thing that you said, that's not of God, about you giving money like that to someone if you're going to get blessed.
why would God continue to tell his people to make sacrifices for their sins when he sent Jesus?
Yes.
Jesus' blood is the only blood that could actually take away our sins. And you know, Marie, one of the great promises of the new covenant. And when Jesus died, his blood ratified the new covenant that had been promised many years prior by Jeremiah and Ezekiel and some of those prophets. So his blood ratified that new covenant. And in this new covenant, it says, God remembers our sins no more. That's great news, isn't it? And the reason God remembers our sins no more is because Jesus took them all away. He just didn't die for some of our sins. He died for all of them. Every single sin, Marie, that you will ever commit, Jesus took each and every one upon himself. He offered up his blood to the Father, and the Father said, "I am satisfied." Propitiation took place, which enabled God to declare you righteous in Christ. That declaration of righteousness, the fact that you have been justified by faith in Jesus and you have received the promise of God's Holy Spirit, is evidence that your sins have been taken away as far as the east is from the west. And that is some of the most life-changing, transformative news you will ever hear.
So one more thing. So would you say then, too, like the people that's teaching the Jewish roots, that's the same thing, too, right? Those are sacrifices that they're doing, the Shabbat and all that stuff. Isn't that works under the law?
Yes.
Yes, and as I said, Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm going to encourage you to pick up your Bible and read Hebrews chapter 10.
Okay.
You will see that the writer says the law is a shadow. So it's not even the real thing. It was something to point us forward to Jesus. Now that Jesus has come, we don't need the shadow.
Okay.
We've got Jesus. His blood has been shed. We can take our stand on him and offer up the sacrifice of praise. In light of the finished work of Jesus Christ, the only sacrifice that we can offer that will have any significance as far as he is concerned is the sacrifice of praise, a heart of thankfulness that is fully resting in the finished work of Jesus.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, sir, for answering my questions, and I will read Hebrews 10.
Yes. Well, let me put you on hold, Marie. I wrote extensively about the Day of Atonement and compared the sacrifices of the Old Covenant to the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus in a book called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. I would love to put it in your hands.
Sure. Thank you.
Well, you hang on. We'll send a copy your way.
Thanks,
and
Marie.
Once you get it and read it, call us back and let me know what you think, okay?
Okay, thank you, sir.
Hey, thanks, Marie.
Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and other resources are available to you in our online store, and you can access it by going to store.basicgospel.net. We encourage you to go there, poke around. You'll find some really good stuff in there. Again, that's at store.basicgospel.net. Guys, the passage of Scripture, Luke 10, I'll give you a heads up on this. Luke 10, verses 17 through 20, a question from Taylor, who lives in Wantagh, New York, and listens to our great affiliate, The Mission 570, WMCA there in the New York area. She says, my mom and I always listen to your broadcast, and they have brought about so many blessings. Thanks, you guys, for all you do. Could you please explain Luke 10, 17 through 20 for us? And thank you, and may Jesus bless you all. That's from Taylor in Wantagh, New York.
Yeah, it's Luke 17. It's after the 72 had been sent out to do the work that Jesus had outlined for them to do. They came back and they said, Lord, and they were full of joy, and you can imagine. And they said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And how cool is that? I mean, to go out into this world and look at a demon, and boy, and you say something in the authority of Jesus Christ, and that demon flees or submits, that just would have to be one of the coolest things ever. And to keep them from being prideful, Jesus jumps right in and tells them the story of Satan, how Satan fell like lightning from heaven. So he said, don't get cocky about this. You didn't have the power to cast out the demons. That wasn't from you. That was my power. I lent it to you so that you could go do that. So don't think that's you. That's me. That's me doing that. And so what you need to rejoice in is not that demons submit to you, but the fact that your name is written in heaven, that you have a place with me in heaven. That's what you should rejoice in. And you didn't have anything to do with that either. It is by grace through faith that you have your name written in the book of life. So rejoice in that. We rejoice in all of these things that we do. And God is saying, no. This thing is all about Jesus. It's about what he's done through his shed blood on the cross. It's what he does in resurrection. It's what he does through his indwelling presence in us. He's the source of this life. He is our very life. Let's rejoice in Jesus and in Jesus alone. That's what's going to give us the ultimate joy as believers.
Taylor, hope you're listening, and glad that you and your mom are listening to Basic Gospel, and that what you hear has been a blessing to you. Hope you'll keep listening and give us a call or drop us another line if you have the opportunity, if you have another question. Friends, don't forget Basic Gospel and your giving. We're dependent upon you, our listeners, by your prayers and your gifts to keep the good news on the air. Donate on any page at basicgospel.net. We'll be back tomorrow for another Friday edition. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.